Fan Morning Show, JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi.
I disagree with...
everything.
No, well, a lot, but especially the name of our next guest's podcast. Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You podcast. It is good, but it is wrong. Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman and serious XM NFL analyst. Good morning.
Why is the title wrong?
Well, you know, we've talked before, and I learned a lot about football from Madden, and I like to send you my Madden plays and what goes on with Madden, and it's pretty smart. And if you look at the way the game is going, you know, it's a lot more Madden, a lot more going for it on fourth downs, a lot more passing. You know, it's kind of a Madden league now. So some people might have been a little more ahead of the curve than, say, other guys, you know, who were you?
Yeah, it's like, you know, like Pat Mahomes. He just does his Madden stuff all the time.
Exactly. So I want to start with this, Jeff. Is there more pressure on Baker Mayfield tonight because he's not playing?
No. I would say that in general, there's a lot of pressure on him this year because it's a contract year, right? And so, you know, if Keenan plays well tonight, I don't think that changes much for Baker, because they're judging Baker Mayfield off the film he's put on, right? Not really how anyone else does in that role. And Keenan might do well. Broncos defense is good, but their team is not terribly good. And this offense, we know in the past, has kind of been friendly to quarterbacks. So I don't think there's any pressure on him tonight. I mean, he just has to get back and start playing better. Because if I was the Browns, would you pay him $40 million right now? I mean, that's the going rate right now. It's $40 million a year. I mean, if I was his agent, I wouldn't take any less. So is that what we're doing? Are you guys going to pay him that much money?
So I kind of think this could go the other way, where you're going to have Case Keenum in there. He hasn't started a game in a couple years. The last time he did, he was 1-7. I wonder if there's a little bit of a situation where Browns fans come out of this. If Case Keenum is the Case Keenum we remember and things are pretty underwhelming, is there potentially a case we made coming out of it that, oh, actually, we do have to pay Baker, because if you don't hit on the next quarterback or you don't find a true star quarterback, this is what it looks like?
Well, I definitely don't think they're going to win tonight. So that we can end that. I think they're going to lose tonight.
1.5-point favorites, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, the lines, if you're gambling now on the line, you've missed it, because Broncos were 7-point underdogs at one point this week. They're even three and a half before the Keenum news. Okay, so look, the Browns are an interesting spot, because there has not been a team that has moved off a quarterback like Baker Mayfield before their rookie contract, maybe ever, right? And it's the best Browns quarterback they've had in a lifetime, right? And so if you move off of him, you're gambling with obviously your job, but with the fan base and with anyone else who comes in that can be as good or, you know, better than Baker Mayfield. So you're kind of risking a lot here. And I did argue on my podcast, you know, a little bit in writing last year, that, you know, the Browns have a roster that is, at least depth-wise, around their team, one of the best in the NFL. And I made the argument that they need to go and be bold, and they need to do what Kansas City did with Alex Smith and Pat Mahomes. And obviously, Alex Smith was a, you know, multi-year starter for many years and had been in playoff games and whatnot and had won playoff games. But, you know, go get Justin Fields in the draft. Like, go be bold and do that. Yeah, obviously that was, you know, a little bit of just projection, because it's, you know, they weren't going to do that last year. But now this year, the same question kind of stands, right? Is that, do you go and make that move? The problem is there's no one in this draft who is like anything we've had, you know, especially last year. So it's going to be a little bit interesting to see what they do. They're in a tough spot, man, because I don't think Baker's the guy. I think he's good enough when things are going well, which is fine, but that's obviously not what football is, right? I mean, you need quarterbacks that in those big moments make the big plays, and that's really not what he's been in his career. And so they're kind of in a tough spot right now.
Yeah, that's why I don't see Blake's scenario tonight, because even if Case Keenum doesn't play well and the Broncos win as you think, I'm going, who cares? We're all looking at it as though it's Case Keenum. It's the other side of it, where if he looks even like a facsimile of Baker Mayfield, I just think that's possible. And so I think people can be talking about that tomorrow going, what was the difference? I just know that when I saw Case Keenum warming up in the last game, I thought, oh, Case Keenum, you know, that's a halfway interesting option for what Baker Mayfield is giving you right now. And I just, I'm just saying how I felt. I'm just saying how I felt watching it. I know he hasn't been great. I know that Blake referenced that season, but I also remember the Viking stuff. And I just think, you know, maybe this guy has that. Like, he's not the worst backup in the world.
Well, I'll say this. Case Keenum is not their future answer.
No.
And I'm not sure his answer now. So, like, your excitement was almost like, well, let's see if someone else can do this so we don't have to pay Baker Mayfield. Let's do it with Case Keenum. And so, look, I understand your point is that, look, if Keenum – but this offense is quarterback-friendly, right? It got Jared Goff to a Super Bowl. It got Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl. You know, and we saw last year the best quarterback, at least since John Elway, to run this offense was Aaron Rodgers, and he won the MVP, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, it's a very quarterback-friendly offense, and it's hard to screw up. But, again, to me, I've always judged quarterbacks and how they play in the biggest moments, right? Even so far this year, Baker Mayfield has not been that guy. He wasn't that guy at the end of the Chiefs game in the playoffs last year. And he definitely wasn't that guy in the Chiefs game to start the season in the fourth quarter. He wasn't that way against the Chargers in the fourth quarter. Obviously, he got pretty hurt against Arizona. But before that, if you had watched that game not knowing which side did not have their coach there, their offensive coordinator, their best pass rusher, their center, you would have said, oh, it was Cleveland, right? No, it was Arizona, right? Like, the Browns just didn't play very well. They didn't come out with the fire and passion. That, to me, goes to quarterback play. We talk a lot about injuries. Yes, the Browns have a legitimate case that they you know, have been hampered by injuries. But the Ravens have the most injuries in the NFL, right? So, you know, you can cover up for injuries with a quarterback. Now, can the Ravens continue at this rate with all the injuries they have? I don't know. I mean, they're putting a lot on Lamar Jackson, right? And he's doing a great job. He's, in my opinion, the MVP. Right? He's got more total yards himself than like half the teams in the NFL do. Mm-hmm. You know, how long can that last? And the Browns, I mean, I don't want to hear this excuse about it. Yeah, injuries. Yes, injuries, they happen. Yeah. And you have needed quarterback a lot of times to overcome that, and he's not that guy.
No, I agree. And this has been my issue with Baker this season is that I see a guy who doesn't elevate his team enough when things aren't going perfectly his way in a game. And I need to see that. And when he is measured against, like you said, in those big moments against those other great quarterbacks, so far this season it's been like, nope, you lost to Mahomes, you lost to Herbert. What's going to happen in those games down the stretch when you play Lamar twice? What's going to happen when you play Aaron Rodgers? Those are the games that I'm going to care about. And my sense is, if you're a Browns fan and he's playing in those games, you're going to feel like you have the inferior QB. And it's why, you're right, it's a fascinating case study in, can you move off of someone that historically teams do not move off of, historically teams pay? I'm hoping that there's a trade for them. I'm even thinking, you know, they're the Russell Wilson team where they've got to figure out a way to try to inject themselves into that conversation at the end of the season because it'll probably be very buzzy. But yeah, I think it's doomsday for Browns fans if he looks all right today. So let's move on because what about the other team, the Broncos? Their quarterback situation, like they went into the season with Teddy and everyone loves Teddy Bridgewater. So I feel like we gave them a pass where we just go like, yeah, Teddy, you know, he's there. But they've got a lot of injuries too, so it's harder to define or to maybe judge their season in a perfect way. But it's another year for the Broncos where they don't really seem to have the answer at quarterback, and they didn't go with Drew Locke. Like, what are we looking at here, man? Like, is this the free agent team? Is this another year with a draft? Like, where do the Broncos go from here? Because it's starting to feel like a lost season.
Yes. It probably, you know, is starting to kind of feel that way. And, you know, there's obviously plenty of time to overcome that, but yes, it does feel that way.
So a team that I've talked to you about many times, the Kansas City Chiefs, I think about something that you and I talked about almost every single time I watched them play this season, which is, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it was something along the lines of you telling me that, hey, this team has had difficulty sometimes getting up for regular season games because they know where they're going to be measured and they know that they're good enough to get there. And when you're seeing them this season, do you feel like it's more of that same thing where they're just not, I don't want to say taking it seriously because it's the NFL. They're obviously doing that, but where maybe they're just not as dialed into this yet because they know they're the Chiefs, or is this something that's different from that?
Well, the Chiefs are just making silly mistakes, man. Like, and I don't think it's a lack of, like, last year where I don't think they were kind of going through the motions at the end of a lot of games. That's why they didn't cover these games. But they're just having just horrific turnovers and things that they haven't done in the past. And they had four balls go through players' hands. Pat Mahomes threw the worst interception of his career the other day. Mecole Hardman's fumble, right? And that being said, though, their offense is number two in efficiency. They're number one in points per drive. They're number one in, like, scoring opportunities. Like, they're doing a really good job when they don't turn the ball over. And defensively, they're just a wreck. Now, they held Buffalo to 7 points in the second half 2 weeks ago. They held Washington to 0 points in the second half last weekend. So, they're getting a little bit better, and each week needs to see kind of incremental improvement. They also had the toughest schedule through the first 5 weeks of the season. They played four playoff teams. I think people are prematurely writing off the Chiefs. I think that people are going to look back and wonder, why did we do that? Because if they just stop turning the ball over, like, let's say they turn the ball over, half as much. They're going to score 35 points as usual. I mean, they have 14 turnovers, guys. Like, let's say they have seven right now. They'd be 5-1, right? They would have beat the Ravens, probably would have beat the Chargers, but they keep turning the ball over. And so it's a matter of just ball security, ball control, and then obviously on defense, just being able to just stay in front of someone, stop having mental mistakes.
So actually, side note, I was Googling you and just to check out what college you went to, because I love to know that. And we have the same birthday. Happy July 11th.
7-Eleven,
yes, 7-Eleven. You know, up in Canada, you get free slushies here at the 7-Eleven gas station on our birthday.
Also in America.
I'll think of you this summer.
They're not short on
They got lots of slushies
gas
down there.
And
but
at
gas I was very happy to see that because not a lot of people.
My son also
no
shared
way.
The same birthday as us.
Look at us go.
Yeah, how about that?
Look 7-Eleven, at us, 7-Eleven babies. So cool. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Arizona Cardinals because I just can't get enough of their incredible run. They're still undefeated, led by Kyler Murray, who just keeps impressing us on his MVP race. Who do you think is the first team that's going to be able to take them down?
It's a great question. I think a lot of us, like with Arizona, I think a lot of us are in the same boat. We're like, yeah, but Kingsbury's not been good at the end of every season he's ever coached. Like, if you go look back at everywhere he's ever coached, you look at Texas Tech. Look at the end of his seasons. Lost 5 in a row. Lost 6 of 7. Lost 6 of 8. Lost 5 of 7. You know, his first 2 years in Arizona, 3-3-1 to start, and then finishes 6-9-1. The last year, 6-3, and you finish at 8-8. So, like, a lot of us are like, okay, great start, right? They're playing good football. They're doing the right thing. But, like, let's just see how they finish. Now, their schedule's pretty easy if you look at it, right? I mean, look, they have the Packers on Thursday Night Football. In just about 10 days, actually a week from, what's today?
Thursday.
A week from today. And then they go to the Niners, the Panthers, Seahawks, Bears, Rams. I mean, they got a pretty easy schedule compared to the rest of the NFL if you're trying to get that one seed, especially in the NFC conference. So they're going to keep winning. It's a question of how they finish the season. Can they avoid injuries? We saw last year that, Kyler Murray got a little beat up and that kind of derailed the offense. Their defense is doing a good job. I mean, they're playing good football. Don't get me wrong. A lot of us are kind of in the same boat of like, well, let's see what Kingsbury's team, like how they finish. Because in his career, that has not been very good.
Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman.
Born on July 11th.
Yep, on his 7-11 birthday. Everyone's going to remember that now.
Yeah, that's right.
The Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You podcast. Give him one a birthday present. Just subscribe to that.
Yeah.
And Sirius XM NFL analyst. Thanks for making time this morning, man.
Okay, guys. Have a good one. Thank you.
You too.
Now everybody knows my birthday, too, so don't forget it.
That was a lot of pressure.
I'm sure everyone.
And you already get
cancer already.
You already have it. You get your slushy, and that's good enough for you.
Yeah, but it's free.
Why are you looking offended at your zodiac sign?
You said it so negatively.
Oh.
You said, everyone knows you're a cancer.
Yeah, he did say it like that.
He did say it
again,
like that.
You know.
See, there's another knock from Blake.
7-11. No, that's 7 bad guy moves by Blake today. 7.
Put it on the board.
Yeah, that's right. It is on the board. Also, I'm going to give you 7.5 because I've already said that you got the noisy cord and that's about. Just a noisy guy.
Yeah, sorry.
Just like noisy around.
Sorry, I took some medicine. With my mic off.
Yeah, that. Well, you know.
Ours were on.
I'm sorry.
I could
do
hear
we
it.
Have no breaks for you to take your medicine? Is it? Does it have to happen at 9:37?
Well, no, the tough part is we have a 5-minute break, mm-hmm. and that's not enough time for you to finish a sentence. So mm-hmm. I have no time to do anything else.
You could do it. You could leave the room. You could leave the room while I'm talking. Like, I'm talking for so long, giving you all the space.
Yeah, would you even notice?
Is the question.
Eight.
Yeah, like, round it up.
The count. I feel like the count. Huh? The count from
yeah, no, I know.
Sesame Street.
Yeah.
No, I know that. I was going somewhere else.
I took a peek at the text line and we got a good one. Still liking the new show. Mm. I told you.
Still, it's been two and a half weeks.
I told you it wasn't as funny when you rip on Blake because he's a nicer guy. I take it back, rip away. Dave from Burlington.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for your support, Dave. Yeah. I appreciate you, Dave. See? The real nice guys know.
Head on a swivel, Dave.
They can, yeah, see?
Tiff from Kitchener said that. I think we've all discovered why JD is so perpetually ornery. Grade 7, Paula. It's all making mm-hmm. sense now. Childhood trauma. Tiff from Kitchener.
Thank you, Tiff. See, people are kind to me today.
Shout out to the region.
You know why?
Because people are seeing what the show for what it truly is.
That's it.
Everyone thinks that I'm the Blackheart, mm-hmm. that I'm the bad guy. Wrong. Again, I asked the question, who's the bad guy? And the question
still
is,
you.
No. See? I'm even just asking the question because I'm a good guy who asks.
You know
you're
what?
You're someone who's like, it's him.
It's Blake now.
You're the guy whenever like Frankenstein was like, I just want to love everybody in the village. You're like, let's chase him. Let's chase him with pitchforks.
What's the count at? 8?
Yeah.
You want to make it 9?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you already kind
you
of
make it 10?
Even by that tone.
Blake had his hoodie off and we saw his forearms. He's got a skeleton on one forearm.
Yeah, lots of tattoos.
And a snake on the other forearm. Yeah. That's Blackheart.
Do you think that...
Scary.
This is enough talk about my body this week. My feet, my calves, my height, my tattoos.
No one brings up your calves. You do. Yeah. You're the only one that brings up
calves. I mentioned them once and then you started thirsting over them.
No.
Like every time I look over and JD's not talking, he's just like, staring at my calves.
This is what I mean.
It's even texted me. He's like, hey, man, it's warm. You should wear shorts again.
Yeah, I did. I did do that. I did say that.
That's
a real thing. I will say this, though. It's like, we never brought up the calves.
No,
that was it,
that's
all you think.
100% like, you bringing up your own calves.
I was like, oh, Blake, you got big feet. He's like, yeah, look at my calves. I was like, what?
That is not what
compared your calves to another person that works here, too. Yeah, that person had the only one with bigger calves than you.
If I just
but look at the comparison points.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I have bigger calves than, you know, William Liu. I don't know other people here well enough yet to throw them under the bus. Or
how many tattoos do you have, roughly?
I don't know. How do you count them when they're sleeves?
That's what I'm saying. So let me ask the audience that. Someone who doesn't know how many tattoos they have, does that sound like a nice person? Yeah. Does that sound like a good guy? Is that a good guy to you?
Are you? I thought you were going. I think you should leave Santa Claus Crashmore here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look at them to see if they got tattoos. I don't care, but it's not good behavior.
They're not getting presents.
It's not good behavior is correct. That is right. So that's all I want to know from the audience today.
Tweet us.
You know, are you sure? If you were once in the camp of Blake Murphy, obviously nice guy. All I'm asking is.
Have we changed your opinion yet?
Yeah, it's like he asked that question to Will where he said, hey, it's only one game, but has it swayed one prediction a certain way? And I kind of am looking at it like...
I feel like I'm in the clear, though. I am definitely the good guy.
No, we've already established who you are. You're the bandwagoner.
You're front runner.
You're just whoever wins, I cheer for them. That's you.
Right.
You're like, oh, who's ever winning the battle? Whoever's in there.
It's like, it was just standing, watching the fight on the outside and kicking whoever's on the ground at the moment.
She's definitely the one who's like, as it starts...
Fight.
Who said that?
In the back of the cafeteria, throwing the first handful of mashed potatoes and then like sitting back in the corner.
He threw that at you. So yeah, I'm going to actually close on that. The Baker thought, which is just simply, I'm not as bullish about the line tonight. I'm going to have to sit with it a little longer. I think Jeff's right in the sense of, I don't know if I'll be able to bet this game simply because if that was the line, 7, I never saw it at that, but now I'm just living in huge regret and it's devastating me. And now when you miss out on value like that, it's really hard for me to bet.
Yeah, I saw it in your eyes.
It hurt. Yeah, it hurt me a lot. Because obviously 7 points is as incredible as a home dog. And even if they were facing Baker Mayfield, that's a crazy line. I would have bet the Broncos.
Almost all the value on the money line's gone too.
I'm just Case Keenum. I just know what the narrative is going to be. And I know what the headline from the future is going to be tonight if Case Keenum wins his football game. And it's going to be a lot of talking heads asking the question of how much Baker is better than a quarterback who, as Blake just said, went 1-7 his last attempt as a starter
2 years ago
for the team that they're playing tonight. Something to think about. Is Blake a bad guy?
Somebody bet $500,000 on the Broncos plus four before Baker Mayfield was ruled out. So at least you're not as bad, down bad as that guy.
Yeah. Denver Broncos fan, Kevin Barker. Next, Blair and Barker. Sports F5, Night of the Fan.